5 months after a 32-year-old man was rescued from a home where he was allegedly held captive for 20 years. DCF met virtually and privately over Zoom with members of Connecticut's Children's Committee, and that includes State Senator Jason Perillo from right here in Shelton. And Senator Perillo joins us now. Senator, I want to first talk about the fact that this sit-down meeting, I think in your own words, would not have happened if lawmakers like you and Senator Marr from right here in Fairfield County pressed this issue literally since it became news in February, correct?
Yeah, to be honest, Melissa, I actually think that's correct. These are one of those situations where if you don't stay on top of it, it can disappear, right? You know, new news comes, you know, and then people forget about it. So, you know, we had to stay on top of it. And you know, would this have happened without us pushing? Maybe. But to be honest, I really don't think so.
So what came out of yesterday's meeting?
Well, I mean, I had a few takeaways, and I hope the Department of Children and Families has some takeaways as well. Honestly, in my opinion, in hearing about what happened 20 years ago, my sense is honestly that the staff did what they could do within the bounds of statute. And I mean, you know, the staff at DCF. But my other takeaway is, and it just sort of underscores what we've talked about in the past, this wasn't a people problem. This was a system problem. Mm. And quite honestly, some changes have already been made in the last 20 years. We've made it easier for the Department of Children and Families to sit down with a child individually without the parents. You know, that can help understand what's going on in the household. In statute, we changed a number of things that actually make it easier for the Department of Children and Families to do their job. So many things have been done, but don't mistake that for a second. You know, we are not done here. There is more work to do. I honestly think the agency has a little bit more work to do in bringing together, you know, some solid suggestions. Honestly, I didn't really learn more yesterday than I knew the day before. I was hoping to get a little bit more information, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, DCF has some more work to do, and I hope that the commissioner's biggest takeaway, at least from me, is that going forward, this needs to be as transparent as possible. You know, are there some statutory limitations to what DCF can say? There are. There are some privacy limitations. I thoroughly respect and understand that. But, you know, to hear from DCF that they don't intend to submit a report so the public can read it, that's really not acceptable. So I hope the commissioner heard my concerns about that. And really, you know, not just a request, a demand for transparency. And I think the commissioner understands that. And I would hope, you know, she follows through.
So, Senator Perillo, a couple of things from this. I've been just as critical, I think, obviously not as vocal as lawmakers like yourself or Senator Marr have been, because I talk to the listening audience. And obviously you have, I think, more power to sit down and have these private conversations. And so kudos to you guys for doing that. But I've been highly critical of DCF and the fact that we've really heard nothing. I mean, they've been very nice to me over email. Whenever I reach out to them, they've been very respectful, responsive, but really have given us not much at all, much like you. But I have to say, you know, so their policy, basically, unless I have this wrong, so please correct me. Their policy is after 5 years, basically, of checking on this family, and they seem to have done that. I mean, when I looked at the report back of what you guys, you know, discussed, it sounds like they did interviews with the man who's in question right now of whether or not he was held captive or not. They did talk to him. They talked to other children who lived in the home with and without parents in the room. They did checks. They talked to the pediatrician. They talked to the school nurse. I mean, they did what they were supposed to do, and nothing was at least sufficient enough for them to continue investigating this family. And again, obviously something went wrong. But I guess my question is, what could they have honestly done then? If you've got 5 years, essentially, of clean records, that's what it sounds like, and they did what they were supposed to do. I mean, at some point, you're sort of damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like, they couldn't just keep showing up to a home that for 5 years consistently showed there were no issues. Like, what could they have really done, I guess? What training, I guess, as we talk about this, what could they have really done if they did the thorough stuff that it sounds like they were supposed to do?
Well, I mean, look, the staff at DCF is in almost an impossible situation all the time.
Yeah.
You know, in this instance, you know, could some training of the staff helped? I mean, you made the point, and I think the agency has said as well, you know, the family may have lied to the DCF officials on multiple occasions. You know, gosh, should the DCF staff be trained to, so almost like a police officer to tell when somebody is being truthful and when they're not? You know, I mean, maybe that's in order. Maybe we need to make sure that we're giving them the knowledge and the tools. You know, these are good, hardworking social workers. Let's make sure they have the tools and the knowledge they need to do the best job they possibly can. But back to your point, look, I've been critical of DCF too. But I don't think this is a mistake made by social workers at DCF 20 years ago. I think these are.
I don't think so either, but I guess
people.
That's just it, though. If it's the system, then, Senator Perillo, you and I are saying, I think, the same thing. I guess the question, though, is if it's a system issue, because I agree. I don't think these are the workers. But if it's a system issue, after 5 years of a house being, you know, having clean records, essentially, even if they were to have put them under police surveillance, I mean, imagine, what if it ended up being an issue 10 years down the road? I mean, is this something that we need to go back and say, hey, once you've been deemed a repeat, you know, even if it's a complaint, a repeat complaint offender, if you will, it does that require DCF to do one check a year for 20 years? I mean, is that really is that what we're sort of looking at when we talk about systems? Because it seemed like the first 5 years that this child at the time, now adult, was removed from the school system, there was nothing alarming. They said the home looked fine. I mean, but now you look at pictures of the home and it's a disaster. So like something happened between year 6 and year 20. You know what I mean? But DCF was out of the picture at that point. So is that a statute issue? Is that a system? When you say a system issue, is that what we're talking about? Like requiring now that if you've landed on DCF's radar, even though you were cleared after 5 years, that you need to have checks every year or something?
Well, could we do that in statute? You know, absolutely. You know, we can change those parameters. But and this came up in yesterday's conversation with DCF. You know, it's a balance, right? You know, at what point is the Department of Children and Families protecting the safety of the child? And at what point do they cross into a level of harassment of a good family that's trying to do a good thing?
Correct.
I don't have the answer to that. But those are the kind of things that we need to discuss in an open forum, so that people can have their say at a public hearing and weigh in, so the legislature can then do the things that we need to do that make sense to A, of course, keep children safe, but B, not encroach on the civil rights and civil liberties of families too. So it is a balance. We love black and white, but honestly, in this case, it's not that simple.
We've got Senator Perillo here, and really quickly, I just wanted to correct something that I had said, because I was given 2 pages of notes from DCF following this meeting this week. They said it was over the course of 9 years that DCF received 6 reports on this particular individual, each of them investigated. I kept saying 5 years, so excuse me for that. I believe I'm saying 5 years because they said after 5 years and clean records, they expunged the records. Did that ever come up, Senator Perillo, in yesterday's meeting?
It did. That was brought up, and you may recall that DCF had to go back into sort of written records that were in storage, and then they found more information on the case. The amount of time, the length of time they need to hold on to these records is something that's also got to be discussed. But look, at the end of the day, to me, the most important thing right now is that we have actionable steps that we can take, whether they're in regulation, whether they're by passing a new law, whether they're by practices within the agency, to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And the first step in all of that, maybe it was yesterday, but then the next step, of course, is for DCF to come out publicly and share what they can share, what they know, and identify ways that we can prevent this in the future. DCF's sort of reticence to be public about this, while I guess I kind of get it, it really in this case just doesn't work. You got to be honest with people.
And the other thing too, Senator Perillo, is I'm reading the breakdown of prior policy practice in the system versus what is currently happening. And other than some tweaks, and I'm not saying that they're not significant, I'm sure they have made a difference, because knock on wood, thank God, we haven't heard about any of these other cases or alleged cases happening in the state. So, maybe some things are working. But just from having, friends who work in DCF. And I mean, my very best friend in the world is a DCF worker. And I just know from their perspective, it is such an overrun department and there's so much chaos. And I know DCF has been, I'm not going to call it a problem because we certainly need them, but has certainly been in the news for decades, to be quite frank. And so I'm not sure if, you know, obviously we're focusing on this one case alone, but does this sort of lead to an even bigger picture problem? Are we seeing where DCF, apart from this case, you know, has some, I'm going to call it leadership slash systematic issues that need to be prioritized, you know, sooner rather than later?
You know, I mean, first of all, there are two things. First, DCF is just so heavily scrutinized, and they ought to be, right? Like, they're entrusted with the safety of Connecticut's children. So that's part one. But part two is, you are correct. You know, we had a recent audit come out that showed problems with paperwork, problems with follow-up within the agency. You know, this isn't our first rodeo with that. It feels like you hear stuff about DCF every few years, areas where they need to improve, mistakes having been made. You know, and then the thing is, of course, when a mistake is made at DCF, it's public mm-hmm. in a very big way. And we've seen that. You know, do I want to put that on the commissioner? Is that her fault? You know, my sense is honestly no. But see, now is an opportunity for her to step up and to address the problems that we're talking about here today. Address the problems that came up in a recent audit about paperwork and other things that need to be done and follow up. You know, she's in the driver's seat right now, right? You know, leaders lead, and I think she can do that. But you know, like I said, you know, the first step is just being honest and open and transparent with everybody. You know, let us know where all the warts are, and let the legislature be part of the solution, not the problem.
Do you feel like, too, Senator Perillo, we need to do more? You know, we talk a lot about teachers, obviously, because, again, teachers are also a huge critical part of our children's welfare. Our kids are with them sometimes more than they're even at home. But do you think we do enough to specifically focus on DCF? And why I say that is because, you know, going back to this friend that I mentioned, one of the things that has concerned me for years is the fact that these are the frontline workers who go into homes a lot of the time for domestic violence situations to remove children, whether or not there's drug activity, whatever is going on. They are going in unarmed. And one of the things that I've gone to the governor about, I've gone to many entities about, is why in the world are our DCF workers not even being trained in it, to have a gun on them? And I'm sorry, I know that's a controversial thing, but to me, I look at, you know, what we saw in Bristol was a very clear sign. You've got armed officers who were ambushed, and you're talking about people who are going into homes unarmed, and they're taking children away in some situations, and they don't really have much protection. I mean, they sometimes have police in the area, depending on the call. But do we do enough to, first of all, bolster DCF, but do we also attract enough workers to actually be DCF workers? Like, I think we need to really focus on this department and certainly build up the amount of workers we need to have it function correctly, but also actually secure people to want to be DCF workers.
Look, social work in and of itself is an extraordinarily difficult job.
Yeah.
Emotionally. And then take it to the next level, being a social worker at DCF, which can be just heart-wrenching, you know, even more difficult. So, you know, again, can we give them additional training, additional support to make them, you know, more comfortable in their job? The answer is probably. Is the solution arming all of them? My guess is no, but maybe they need some additional support with individuals who are armed and properly trained in that way. I honestly don't know the answer to that. Like I said yesterday, I didn't really learn anything I didn't already know from the meeting with DCF. But again, they need to come back with those suggestions. DCF and its leadership knows what happens in the agency better than the legislature does by design. That's just the way it is. They're there every day. So for me to sit here and guess what DCF needs,
That's not your job.
Really the way it's supposed to go, right?
Right.
Right. It's DCF's job to come up with suggestions and
True.
Ask us to help them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they should definitely ask their workers. they should definitely get some perspective from the workers.
Yeah. When you're on the front lines, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. But I don't know if they're being heard. I'm not sure. That I question.
Well, I hope this is an opportunity for them to be heard.
I agree with you. Senator Perillo, I appreciate, first of all, your consistent effort to try and hold people accountable, especially when you hear about these types of stories that are, you know, going national. So I appreciate this. And certainly, as you mentioned, it's a step, but there still is a lot of work to do. And I appreciate you staying on top of it and keeping us in the loop.
Thanks, Melissa. You're the best.
All right. Senator Perillo here on WICC.